JC2S, Part 2. Number 23B.
Yes, so therefore we take that big epitome and we say, all right, truth is principle, truth heals. We hear the truth that heals, or she could have said Christians, Max could have said Christian Science heals. That is the truth that stands for that 6,000-year period. All, there's always that sense of love, which will come into medicine now. It certainly came into theology that it was a religion of love, and it certainly came into science that it's a divine principle love. Now we'll see it's a truth, which is love, because it heals all classifications of disease and benefits mind and body. So the spiritual benefits the second degree of mind and the first degree of the body. So we see then that we mark, therefore, that tone, therefore, that truth heals the truth, all love, classifications of principle tone, disharmony, the opposite of principle. It heals disease as well as sin. That as well as was always that soul tone, wasn't it? But yet it has the underlying principle tone because it's just wanting to say all classifications, which includes disease as well as sin. All right, so the way Mrs. Eddy shows us through Revelation that we need more information concerning this point, she will show us now through 5 sub-sub-tones. So we go to the first one, which is truth is principle, and says the requisite power to heal is in mind and not in obedience to material laws. Well, this is certainly what we know, that truth which heals, that power is in mind, that mind is power, but we know now as through our practice that we did yesterday, we saw that mind was of Christ. So it's both. It's mind, which has its power within the Christ. Those laws of principle, life, truth, and love. That mind has within itself the principle, which is the potential power. It has within itself life, which is that dynamic power. It has within itself truth, which is that conscious power. It has within itself love, which is that total engaging power, which can objectify itself in the Christ order as soul, which is that identifying power, identifying subject and object, always being one, having within itself spirit, which is the ordering power, diversifying, classifying, and bringing out just right idea for the specific situation, and mind, the manifesting power, bringing that idea to consciousness, making it known, which then acts as a law of annihilation to everything that isn't like that idea through the retranslation. So that power to heal, we now see that mind has within it the Christ order. Do we see that? We're coupling together now mind and Christ, aren't we? That's the mind of Christ. I can remember so often when, as a young student going through the compendiums under, well, what is this mind of Christ? Is it just something Jesus had? And then we say, no, we know that it can't be personal to Jesus, but it was just like a mind of Christ. It was nice, but it was just kind of all lumped together until one really began to see that mind operates as the Christ order, doesn't it? That mind of Christ is that mind, as I just went through the Christ order, that gets its power to heal from the laws of the Christ order, the law of the first translation. So we have mind blending with the categories, which we can do. This is how blending comes in. All the categories of God blend, don't they? Mind with the Word, mind with Christianity, mind with science. So we see then that we will go now to our text on page 14732. And we have usually very short texts, but as we now know, short texts pack big meaning. Jesus never spoke of disease as dangerous or as difficult to heal. When his students brought to him a case they had failed to heal, he said to them, O faithless generation, implying that the requisite power to heal was in mind. He prescribed no drugs, urged no obedience to material laws, but acted in direct disobedience to him, to them. Wonderful, because we already have seen at that life as spirit tone that with his Christ consciousness, he did operate and act totally in disobedience to material laws and to material, and therefore he broke the chain of material evolution. So we take our abstraction, and I didn't color it, I was going to, but I did it on purpose because I want us now to see if we can start hearing tones and not colors today. So you see, it's like the Cheshire cat. I take away slowly the crutches that I give you, so you do it on your own. So when you go home, you can rely on your own tonality. So today I decided not to color it, but I certainly will talk it out. But it was just to help you see now if you can even hear the tones in the text and also in these abstractions. So we have already then seen that big point, there is truth is principle, which we have as our epitome, which I have on top of the abstraction now, just picking up the flow of this abstraction. Therefore, that truth heals all classifications, principle of disharmony, the opposite of principle. It heals disease as well as sin. That means it heals every classification, principle. Then that truth is principle as mind, maintaining that sense that truth heals all classifications. It starts out just by going to give us the basis of that. What is the basis for the healing of all classifications? So we know that always in the word order that we have this premise developed to its conclusion. And so she starts out and says, yes, I'll give you again the basis, which we know, but I'll show it to you here at the truth is principle tone, just showing the basis that truth heals all classification. It's in that power to heal, which is in the divine mind, that mind which is the Christ, which does not obey. It does it at all. It has within itself that principle. Its mind, which is principle, which obeys only principle and never any other laws. So it showed then that Jesus had this one principle. He also went out from this principle, which is truth as principle as mind. And therefore, he, with that mind of Christ, you hear the tones here, that mind of Christ, which was based on principle and principles, laws, there was no classification to that principle which he based himself on, which was God, that could not be healed. To him, to the mind of Christ, there was no classification as harmless disease or a dangerous disease, as an easy to heal or a difficult to heal, as curable or incurable. All that which tempts the human mind, doesn't it? When we're faced with that which the world calls incurable, we want to flee and immediately say, well, you better go to a doctor. And so Mrs. Eddy says in Footsteps of Truth, no, no, don't go back, don't flee. Now, you just take those footsteps of truth. You seek truth righteously. Whatever one is faced with, we don't turn to the lesser remedy right off the bat, so to speak. We turn to God. We seek truth righteously, and then she says, and he directs the path. And in Jesus' consciousness, the path was always in the realm of the spiritual. He never resorted to the human mind or to matter to heal even incurable cases. He just, therefore, had that sense of truth as principle, as mind, where we see that truth heals because it's a one principle acting in obedience to the divine mind and its laws, acting in obedience to the power of mind to heal. Well, we certainly saw when we went through the treatment yesterday with that mind, which is Christ, in relation to breaking that stubborn human will and breaking down within Sammy that self-interest and the desire to run only on self-interest, how that mind came right to Sammy and made him see that it was not of any value within the holistic being to isolate himself, that every part must maintain its part within the whole, and he got that whole vision that mind presented to him, and therefore he was able then to focus on that vision, and he was able therefore with spiritual understanding to wed himself to that principle, mind which heals. So we saw the power in such a treatment. And we can see now that it heals all classifications, whatever they call themselves, human will, of the mind, or stubbornness of the mind, or selfishness of the mind, or even right down today, which we have diseases, which they call incurable. Whatever they call themselves by whatever name, that those diseases are cured by the divine mind. So Mrs. Eddy therefore just picked up here that Jesus never spoke of disease as dangerous or as difficult to heal. When students brought to him a case that they had failed to heal, he said, "Oh, faithless generation." We can see he was really saying to them, "Look, I've taught you through that principle, truth principled standpoint. Why are you coming to me? You haven't really gotten this truth is principle is mind standpoint. That the power to heal is in the divine mind, not in any personality. And therefore, you should go back to that power to heal, that impersonal power of mind. Has been the healing factor in all of my cases. It hasn't been any personal power of my own mind." And so therefore, you can see how probably disappointed at this point he would have been for them not to get this important teachings of truth is principle is mind. That hoping and always wanting the disciples to see how it was not Jesus himself, he always would take everything back to the Father, don't, as we well know. Call me not good, call the Father. It's not I that I'm not doing the works, it's the principle that's doing the works. The Father is doing the works. He always had to remind them of this truth principle is mind tone. Yes, so we go on then to the next big point. Of truth is principle is spirit, and saying, "Oh yes, well, we won't disappoint that Christ consciousness. We ourselves will not disappoint that law of truth is principle mind. We now are going to go to that as the impersonal power that heals." And what does it say as truth is principle is spirit? It says anatomy, physiology, and theology reject God's spiritual man and regard him as physical and subject to material laws. So this spiritualism is that which is what's like the disciples. How they keep it keeps trying to deny that Christ method of healing, that mind of Christ which heals on an impersonal laws. And so therefore, these are just all a spiritualism. We could just say that anatomy, physiology, and theology that we could just put under spiritualism, the belief that principle God can be turned to its opposite, and we go to the opposite for understanding, and then animal magnetism, we give the opposite power. That all this spiritualism as the disciples, when they kept wanting to mingle the Christ mind with the human mind. They reject, therefore, the spiritual man, the man of God, see, the man of principle, and now regard him as physical and subject to material laws. So the overall tone now is that truth is principle, that mind is healing all classifications of disease, even man, even the man of God, even that man, that principled man. And so she's going to show that truth, which is principle, that mind heals principled man spiritually, But first of all, she wants to show that that principle, which is truth, which is based on mind, now she wants to show that that mind heals spiritually. But she wants to show that these other remedies take that principled man, that man which is of God, and tries to heal him through material methods. And so therefore she will equate the difference between physiology and science with theology. As we read the text, you'll see how she's showing how these inferior methods handle the man of God, and then we'll show how that truth, which is principle, which is mind, handles the man of God. So this is then on page 148. All right, so we read it together, 148 beginning on line 7, going down, it goes over to 149.2. All right, all under that tone now about the man of God. What about, how is that man healed? Neither anatomy nor theology has ever described man as created by spirit, as God's man. You hear there, principles man. Truth is in principle. The former explains the men of men, or the children of men, as created corporally instead of spiritually, and as emerging from the lowest instead of from the highest conception of being. Both anatomy and theology define man as both physical and mental, and place mind at the mercy of matter for every function, formation, and manifestation. Anatomy takes up man at all points materially. That opposite of the tone of love of the Christ that takes it up all points spiritually. It loses spirit, drops the true tone, and accepts the discord. Anatomy and theology reject the divine principle, which produces harmonious man, and deal, the one holy, the other primarily, with matter, calling that man, which is not the counterpart, but the counterfeit of God's man, of principles man. Then theology tries to explain how to make this man a Christian, how from this basis of division and discord to produce the concord and unity of spirit in his likeness. Physiology exalts matter, dethrones mind, and claims to rule man by material law instead of spiritual. When physiology fails to give health or life by this process, it ignores the divine spirit as unable or unwilling to render help in time of physical need. When mortals sin, this ruling of the schools leads them to the guidance of a theology which admits God to be the healer of sin, but not of sickness. Although our great master demonstrated that truth could save from sickness as well as from sin. I think we begin to hear the tone. So we see now that that truth, which is the mind of God, which heals all classification of inharmony. Now it's going to say, how does it heal? How does that truth, which is principle, which is based on the divine mind healing, how does that heal man? From what standpoint does it heal God's man? From what standpoint does it heal the man of principle? And now, as she often does, as I said, shows it in the reverse, how the others approach it. And she compares that always now with how she does it. So in spiritualism, instead of starting right out with how science does it, right from the straight tone of spirit, she takes the belief that there's any other remedy going on besides this mind, which is God. So we put the abstraction on, and that's just what I do. You see, I listen for that. I say, well, what has she done? I can hear that she's dealing with God's man. That's man, truth. That's man is that tone of truth. Of God, principle, and that he is spiritual. But I say, oh yes, well that's what she's doing, all right. We can take a look at the marginal heading, and it says the man. Well, that's under consideration here at Truth. but it's of anatomy and theology. And I say, oh, yes, all right, so she's going to show the truth through the equipollence of God. She's going to use that logic that says, well, we've come so far in our reasoning through truth as mind, as spirit, as soul, that we should be getting the tone, especially there as truth as mind and truth as spirit, that that mind heals only through spiritual channels and not through their own. So she says, you know that now. We've built that up from truth as mind and truth as spirit as truth as soul. You have that foundation, so I can now build on that one valued logic of spirit, which you know. Can you see? She say, we know that from the truth of spirit tone, that that a mind only heals through spiritual channels. That's the onlyness of spirit. And now she says, through the equipollence of God reasoning, I show therefore the allness of spiritual healing, hence the awful unreality called material healing or any spiritualism healing. So she says, and she lumps now medicine and theology into that spiritualism healing, the opposite of spirit God. And so she talks about man, that's what's under consideration, the man of God, and then equates it. So you see, that's how I just define my page. And so it becomes a work of art, actually. I think these epitomes are something, as Mrs. Eddy said, science and art is now at work in being, meaning that science and the economy of being. Art is always that, as we've seen, which, as it has evolved throughout history, goes from the realistic representation and begins to drop off that which is not needed and begins to just abstract, taking out the essence, taking out that which is needed in order to bring out the form. It's really, as we have seen through spiritual evolution, as we rise, the symbols become fewer and fewer. So that's what the art does also. As it rises, the symbols become fewer and fewer. So there was one time I gave a talk when I was still in the art school on how the idea, where Mrs. Eddy said, nothing is more real and eternal but God and its idea, and this idea is sweeping down the century, showing that that idea, that God has an idea, and that that idea, nothing is real and eternal but God and its idea, and this idea is sweeping down the century on the wings of the Christ, so to speak. And so I could see then that that idea, therefore, that field, that realm of idea, that field of idea, therefore could that same idea, which had within itself its inner acceleration of life, its inner acceleration of truth, its own logic, and its inner goal-directedness, that idea had life, the acceleration, truth, the inner logic, and love, the inner goal-directedness behind that sweeping down the century, and therefore that field, that idea, made itself known in science, that same idea, it made itself known in art, as well as theology and medicine, that same idea the scientists were working with, the artists were working with, the musicians were working with, the writers were working with, as medicine. We don't leave out those disciplines either. They're working with the same idea. It's not, oh well, just my child can do that. In the arts, when one takes it, something like, for example, around the early century, where you get Einstein breaking in with the multidimensional logic that in his fourth dimensional space-time continuum, working with looking at something from many different angles. Well, in and around that century is when Picasso begins to look at the figure from many different angles. You get that abstraction into cubism, and you know the face that is seen coming forward and then seen from the side, or it could seem to be from the top or the bottom, all in one picture. Well, it was that he was showing that you could see something from many different angles, many different standpoints. And then at the same time, his friend Gertrude Stein was writing in dimensional poetry, huh? Where she says, a rose is a rose is a rose. She wasn't repeating. She was saying, she had I think there was a little girl called Rose, and she wanted to say, Rose the girl? Well, she's a rose. She's a real flower. She's a beautiful rose fragrance. You see, rose is a rose is a rose. It was looking at the same thing from many different angles. Well, then at the same time in music, you have these musicians looking, their music changes radically. maybe Schoenberg and some of these people, they start showing sounds and melodies looked at from all different angles. So see, it's that same idea is sweeping down in the sciences, theology, medicine. It's just absolutely terrific. So we want to see that that idea exists. I'm not quite sure how I got off on that, but the main point is that this idea, this spiritual idea, probably from that wanting to show that that equipotence of God, the allness of God going on, and that how she, we want to see that that's the only thing going on in science, theology, and medicine. And now she is equating it with that equipotence logic, saying, yes, all that is real is God and its idea, and it's sweeping down the century, and it's going to influence the science, theology, and medicines, and it's going to act as a law of annihilation to this spiritualism, which just look at the way it handles man. Oh, I know how I got onto it. So therefore, I was showing you, I know, this method of epitomizing how, therefore, it is an art, that it's a method of abstraction, that was it. That that is an art. That's what an artist does then. He abstracts, just as the symbols, I was trying to equate art with science, that's it. In science we see as the symbols rise, they become fewer and fewer. Well, then you could show that in art too. Trying to say as the symbols rise, they become fewer and fewer, that it starts out a Picasso with a bull, but as art becomes leaves the realistic realm, it begins to drop off that which is not essential, and it begins to leave in only that which is essential. So finally, you just, with a few lines, get bull, huh? Till finally, I said, you could leave bull and go into conceptual art, which they finally did and just said bull. Or finally, some of them just didn't say anything. It should be known to consciousness. So one can follow the history of these disciplines that way. And so here, this is that method of abstraction that we have with these abstractions. So when you go home, just ask questions, and that's when we're doing them, and to see how one can take all of the many, many words and points in the text and begin to make an outline of them. Mm-hmm.